You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I want to cover something that's more topical than a news event, although a news event did trigger this show. And this was after the Iowa caucuses, before the New Hampshire. And initially that night, I thought Donald Trump did a terrific job in his concession speech. It was short, to the point, and probably was the best one of the lot. But in subsequent days, he started to whine. He sounded like a crybaby, which I thought was a little bit out of place. Donald Trump was expected to win in Iowa and didn't, and used the fact that a news story on CNN was transmitted by some in the Cruz campaign to their people in the field that it looked like, based on this news story that CNN was broadcasting, and I watched that several times. I had the same impression everyone else did, that it looked like Ben Carson was dropping out of the race, for the simple reason most of the candidates, especially the ones that are leading, went immediately to New Hampshire. That's what you expect if you're a serious candidate after the Iowa caucuses were over. And remember, a storm was coming in, so they needed to get out of there to get to Iowa. But where did Ben Carson go? He went home to Florida and really didn't get to New Hampshire until Friday and attended the prayer breakfast. Now, this is ancient history. I'm not going to go over that. But Donald Trump was trying to accuse Cruz of stealing the election. And it was, I think, beyond over the top. Not unexpected, but I thought was way, way, way out of line. It struck me as a sore loser. Now, he's trying to say that Cruz was lying about Ben Carson. No, he wasn't lying. As a matter of fact, he didn't know about it. And when he finally did learn about it, apologized to Ben Carson. But Ben Carson, if you remember the numbers, did better than expected in the polls. And a lot of people that went to the caucuses said the caucuses were over before this story made the air and then was subsequently communicated to the Cruz people in the field where caucuses were still going on. So I started to ask myself, what's going on here? Because I expected a lot better, if you will, from Donald Trump. And that night, he did what I thought, like I said, was commendable. You know, he gave a good concession speech. But subsequently, he's gone after Ted Cruz over and over again. Now, why? What's the dynamic here? What's really going on? Now, Donald Trump, in the national polls and in the state polls, has been leading. And if you go to any Trump event, he'll spend at least 15 minutes telling you he's leading in the polls. He'll go on and on and on about it. And listen, if you were running or I were running and we're in first place, that's understandable. But remember, you're responsible for your own campaign. You need to get out the vote. Now, we know that Donald Trump exceeded everyone's expectations in New Hampshire. That was a big night for him, and he really showed the pundits. The pundits were setting him up, the news organization. Well, he's going to have to win by at least, 15 percentage points, or he hasn't done well. Well, he did better than that, and really, in every demographic, he won. Now we're in South Carolina. Saturday, they go to vote. Now, what's happening, because I've been following the polls, is, and this is totally to be expected, by the way, as you approach Election Day, many people that have not made up their minds start to make up their minds. So you see movement. Movement away from candidates and movement towards candidates. And what you're beginning to see, and I think you're going to see a repeat of Iowa, is people are making up their mind about both Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, really all the candidates. But Donald Trump's numbers are starting to fall again. And guess who's rising? Yes, Ted Cruz's numbers are rising. Now, if you listen to the show, you know that I've said in the past, or recently, if you add up Ted Cruz's poll numbers and Donald Trump's poll numbers, you get somewhere between 50 and 60%. And that's what I think both of them, if you put their numbers together in South Carolina, the number is going to be somewhere between 50 and 60%. If you want a point estimate, probably around 55%. What I think I'm seeing is another Iowa. It's a neck and neck race, even though the polls, if you've been following for the last couple of weeks, Donald Trump is being, in South Carolina, it was a solid 15 points, sometimes greater than that, but roughly 15 points ahead of Ted Cruz. Where Ted Cruz was, let's say, in one poll would be at 20%, Donald Trump would be at 35%. I think what you're going to see on Saturday is a very, very close race between Trump and Cruz, where they both will probably get about 27%, plus or minus. And the question is, who can get out the vote? And I went over that in the last show. I'm not going to go over it again, but advertising is key, both positive and negative. That's part of the game, folks. And negative ads are run because they're effective. And Donald Trump should know how the game's played. You see, a question I have, and a number of people are asking, will Donald Trump spend his money? Now, I'm sure he spent several million already. But if he's not going to do advertising, and if he's not going to have an organization that can get the vote out, don't be surprised if Ted Cruz wins. Now, full disclosure here, Donald Trump at one time was on my list of four candidates that I could vote for. He has not been on my list for several weeks for a number of reasons, but the big one is I don't trust him. I trust Ted Cruz. I don't trust Donald Trump. Even though on the immigration issue, I think he has the best position until you totally explore it and find out, and most of his supporters don't know this. Oh, they'll tell you about the great, beautiful, powerful, huge wall. Okay. I've heard that for the last 15 years, and we still don't have either two fences with a road well patrolled. So securing the border is important. But what I would have expected by now, and we haven't heard it, is how you're going to enforce the law. You need to be specific. You haven't heard the details. You've heard a lot of promises, 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 promises. And listen, all the candidates are guilty of this. I'm not picking on Donald Trump. He has position papers on his website. But unless you have people in the media asking him the tough questions and following up on it and pressing him on it, because he doesn't answer to the question, except he's going to build that wall. You need to go after the employers. In other words, until you go after the people that are employing all these illegal aliens, and they're 30 to 50 million, you're not going to solve the problem. Donald Trump apparently doesn't want to say that. I suspect because in the last 15 years, he's employed his share of illegal aliens, probably more than most. Trump zeroed in on immigration and specifically illegal immigration. It's not really immigration. It's breaking into this country. It's a crime, folks. First a misdemeanor, first time. Second time, a felony. And what they usually do is get fraudulent documents, another felony, and they work here without legal status, another felony, and the employers are committing crimes when they employ them. It's a crime wave. And both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are encouraging a crime wave. Now, Trump will go on and on and on about the criminal illegal aliens, criminal being they have a record of felonies. Not the ones I went over. I'm talking about what he's talking about is murder, rape, assault. But that's a small percentage of all the illegal aliens that are here. And yeah, they should be the first deported. No one's arguing with them, or very few people. But the question he gets, and he's gotten this several times from different people, well, how are you going to deport them? They'll always say 11 or 12 million. And I've been waiting for Trump to, when someone says that, say, well, excuse me, it's not 11 or 12 million. It's somewhere between 30 million and 50 million. I don't know the number. He doesn't know the number. We have a much larger problem. And here's specifically what I would do. He hasn't said any of that. And ladies and gentlemen, he's not going to say it. Why? Because assume for a minute he could deport everyone, every single illegal alien in the United States. You know what he's going to do that you haven't heard? He said it, but you haven't heard it. You haven't listened to it. He's going to re-import them. You can apply on an expedited basis to come back into the United States. And hopefully, you'll be allowed in. That's called backdoor amnesty or touchback amnesty, where you go home to your country of origin, wherever it is. Most of them, it's Mexico and Central America. Not all of them, but most of them. And then for all those that have came here legally from dozens of countries and have stayed, they've overstayed their visas, they would go home to wherever they were from, as the visa required it, whether you're here on a student visa or business or tourist. Now, I'm leading up to something, and this is a problem, and this is an area I don't pretend to be an expert. It's an interesting area, but I'm not an expert. And it gets back to Donald Trump's reaction. Whenever there is a problem that really reflects negative on him, it's someone else's fault. If Donald Trump should lose in South Carolina, it's going to be very interesting what he's going to say about it. Remember, this is a competition. This is what they, you know, it's not beanbag, okay? And he has the money, and he keeps saying he's self-financing, except for the small contributions. I hope he has the ads. I hope he's bought the airtime, radio and television. Because after South Carolina and Nevada next Tuesday, the big day is March 1st. I think there are 13 or 14 states that have primaries and caucuses. The total delegates up that day, I think, is 624, quite a bit. And here's the problem. If he loses momentum, and that's what we're talking about, he's no longer the front runner. Who is he going to blame? He should blame himself. That's the only one to blame is himself. And then he would go from being a winner to being a loser. Yes, I said it. The L word, loser. Hasn't happened, folks, but it might very well happen. And stand back to see what the reaction is going to be. He likes to say, well, if someone punches me, I punch back. Fine, I do the same thing. But what he doesn't often mention, sometimes the person that threw the first punch was him. Be very careful. And sometimes you have to go back and look at the history, and lo and behold, there is a reason why people run negative ads. You see, he likes to call people names. Loser, liar, fine, but that doesn't impress me. Now, he does impress some people, his base, that are emotionally involved with his campaign. They like that. You see, I'm not calling Donald Trump stupid. I think he's running a terrific campaign. But he's betting that all the free media he gets at the events that he has is going to carry him to victory. And it may very well do that. But what's the but? There are a lot of people, at least two-thirds of the voters, for a whole host of reasons, and they're different reasons, will never vote for Donald Trump.
I don't know if he's plateaued or peaked yet. I think he's very near it, though, at about 40%. In other words, if everything were going right, he gets 40% and all the other candidates get 60. That's why I keep reminding you what Trump wants is a race that has 3, 4, 5 people in it. It's very much a divide and conquer strategy where he doesn't have to go one-on-one with one of the candidates. Because it's my contention if he has to do that, oh yeah, he could get slightly better than 40%, but the other person will have over 50%. You can only nominate one person in the Republican Party to be the standard bearer for president, candidate, and that most likely would be Donald Trump, if you believe the polls. And I'm warning you, you got to be very careful with polls. First, they're snapshots. Depends on the size, they're sampling, how well that's done, and really what the trends are. At best, they're a rough indicator. But as you approach the day that people have to go to the polls, you see movement, in some cases, very large movements. I don't know who's going to win this Saturday in 48 hours, roughly. Actually, less than 48 hours. But I think it's going to be a very, very close race between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. And that's why he's been attacking Cruz more and more. And Cruz is dishing it back. Cruz does have money and has the ads and has bought the time and is playing him against him. But so are all the other candidates. Now, I want to bring up a subject that I alluded to that I'm not an expert on, and that is psychology. And the fact that Donald Trump, I don't know if he'd admit it, but I've asked people, and the question's very simple. Do you think Donald Trump is a narcissist? Everyone I've asked, this is not a scientific sample, by the way, far from it, said, yeah. Most would say, everyone knows that. Yeah, everyone knows that. I've determined that. And the reason I brought up his reaction after Iowa, it reminded me of something that I really had forgotten. I knew nothing about narcissistic personality disorder until 2008, when Barack Obama was running for president. And that's where I ran across it. And one person in particular, Sam Vaknin. He goes by Sam Vaknin. Now, who's he? He will admit to being a narcissist. And he's written the Bible or the book on the subject. And he, and this is when, prior to Obama being elected and then some videos after, made it very clear, and he went down the list, that Barack Obama is a narcissist. It takes one to know one, and he knew for certain that Barack Obama, textbook case in what one is. See, it used to be called megalomania. You won't find that term used anymore. Instead, and let me emphasize something. Everyone has a little bit of narcissism in them. That's not what I'm talking about. This is a personality disorder. You need to be treated. And most people that are narcissists never even seek treatment. They never will seek the help of professionals. Now, what are some of the key symptoms? One is grandiosity. They believe they're superior. They believe it. They're impressive. And you need to understand that. The other, and there's several, but I'm just going to hit the biggies. The other is a sense of entitlement. They are owed because they're special. That's maybe another way to put grandiosity. They think they're special. They're impressive. And most people aren't, but they are. And because they're impressive, they're entitled to, let us say, special consideration. The final one, and there's a whole list of things, and I'll read a few in a minute, is a lack of empathy. They don't understand that their behavior to others, especially people that are dependent on them, is hurtful, abusive. They lack empathy. Most human beings have empathy. And let me just emphasize, it's estimated that about 1% of the entire, in any population of people, only about 1% has this disorder. And remember, most of the people that have the disorder never seek help.
And where you find the most extreme cases, they're usually in prison. They believe they're above the law. The rules don't apply to them because they're impressive. They're regal. And they lack empathy. Those are kind of the three distinguishing characteristics of a narcissist. What they need, though, is they need the admiration from other people, called narcissistic supply. Now, I'm not trying to give you a lecture on narcissism, and I wouldn't feel competent even presenting one. But what I have done, which I do when I prepare any show, what I have done is given you a lot of videos, some articles that at your leisure you can go over. And the way you do that is go to my companion blog for the show, which is prompopops.wordpress.com. That's prongpops.wordpress.com, prongpops.wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll see my photograph. Right below it, you'll have links to my last 60 to 80 shows. And below that, you'll have a number of videos. Now, I could have added at least several times the number I have here. But the point I'm trying to make is this. The President of the United States suffers from this personality disorder. He hasn't been treated for it. And I need to emphasize there are different types of narcissists. They all have the disorder, but and certain careers attract narcissists, but they're usually after money, power. And politicians, you have an inordinate amount of narcissists in a population of career politicians. They're not all that way, by the way. And you can rank, and people have ranked, past presidents, who was considered number one in terms of being a narcissist. Well, it's Lyndon Baines Johnson, a Texan. And I've followed his career, aware of his career. It fits. Number two is Theodore Roosevelt. Three is Andrew Jackson. Now, I'm not going to get down the list, but I'm trying to make a point that we have had past presidents, as well as the current president, that suffer from this disorder. This is a relatively new disorder, although megalomania has been around for many, many years. There are some famous or infamous world leaders, Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin, Mao, all narcissists, but they're narcissists with a difference. They had power, and some, in the most dangerous kind, kill people, a lot of people. And I'm not saying any of our presidents that had this personality disorder did that, although they got us into wars, whether it was Roosevelt or Lyndon Baines Johnson or Andrew Jackson. And there are other presidents that did not suffer at all from this, were rather low. I think Calvin Coolidge comes to mind, as well as Grover Cleveland. So like anything, there's a ranking. And even though the political class, the political elitist establishment, has a higher proportion of narcissists in it, it doesn't mean every politician suffers from this personality disorder, NPD. But many of them do. And because they need constant adulation, they need that supply. Oh, you're a genius. You're terrific. They try to surround themselves with people that will provide them with that. They don't like criticism. They're rather thin-skinned, very sensitive on any criticism. Why? Because they believe that they're the smartest one in the room, and everyone else is beneath them. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is not only do we have a sitting president that has this problem, we have two candidates in the race that clearly exhibit, manifest, present behaviors and traits of someone suffering from this disorder, namely Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. One of the tests, there's a whole bunch of questions, and I'll go over it in a minute, but it's something that I have observed, and I've asked. I'm very interested when I learn. And I don't know how Donald Trump does this. I can't answer for Hillary Clinton because I know people I've talked to that have been there and will confirm what I'm about to say. One way is, how do they treat the help? What I mean, help, waiters, taxi drivers, people with lower social status. Are they nice to them, polite, or are they abusive?
Hillary Clinton has a well-deserved reputation of being very abusive to people that she thinks have lower social status, including waiters, but also people in the military, even the people that protect her, the Secret Service. Now, I don't know if Donald Trump, that applies to him. And you need to keep in mind, they're different types. Bill Clinton was a narcissist of a different type than Barack Obama. Barack Obama is very similar to a Republican president that had it, and that's Richard Nixon. So it's not uncommon, both in the past, and Nixon has been dead, but it's not been that long, as well as current presidents and the candidates, to have people that really should not be running for office. What they should be doing is seeking help. The problem is they almost never do. I'm not saying there aren't a few. The people that typically seek help are the people that are in relationships with narcissists, because the narcissist can be, like I said, very, very abusive. Now, let me just read some of the characteristics, because I don't think I'm really doing justice. And this is the criteria for narcissistic personality disorder, and they include these features. And I'm not going to read the entire list, but I'll read some of it. Having an exaggerated sense of self-importance. Expecting to be recognized as superior, even without achievements that warrant it. Exaggerating your achievements and talents. Being preoccupied with fantasies about success, power, brilliance, beauty, or the perfect mate. Requiring constant admiration. Having a sense of entitlement. Expecting special favors and unquestioning compliance with your expectations. Taking advantage of others to get what they want. Behaving in an arrogant or haughty manner. Those are just some of the things that should alert you. One, if you're listening to speeches, it's called high pronoun density. And I have encountered this, where the speaker is continually using the word I. Barack Obama does this all the time. And to some extent, Donald Trump does. It's either I, me, me, me. I remember once, and I was telling this story last night to someone, when you register for a course at Richland College, they have a resume or the CV of the teacher. And you could open it up and see their background, where they went to school, what the degree is, what work experience they had, what achievements they had. So I was just, I won't say randomly, I was looking at the resume or CV of several faculty, and then I opened, just more curious than anything else, and I had this instructor, and I'm not going to say in, he was a good instructor. So I opened his and started to read it and started to laugh, because you got the I, but you also had listed things that I would never list as an achievement. And I know this person, I think narcissist, sort of fits the bill. And again, he's a good teacher, very smart, but he has a personality disorder. Am I going to tell him about it? No. Because what you'll quickly learn is to avoid these people. The best strategy with dealing with these people is don't deal with these people. Now, that can be hard to do, especially if your boss happens to be one. Or you're dating or in a relationship with one. And that's where the problems begin. You see, these people initially can be very, very charming. They're excellent manipulators of people. They know how to get their way. And you'll be the focus of their attention if they want something from you. Now, after they get it, you'll probably never hear from them again. So ingratitude is one of the things you'll find, and this president has a reputation for that. And I know this president doesn't like criticism, and he has his enablers or suppliers, narcissistic suppliers, right in the White House, starting with Valerie Jarrett. Now, I bring this up because who are the enablers
of the candidates. They're the supporters of these candidates. And do you want someone with this personality disorder to be leader of the free world, be president of the United States? I would say no. But let me qualify it real quickly. Narcissists can be very successful, very productive people. That's just a fact. Case in point, Barack Obama and Donald Trump. You can have psychological problems. Many of them, I would say most of them, involve their childhoods. Not getting unconditional love or being highly criticized by a parent. But I'm not going to psychoanalyze any of the candidates or the president. And that's something that needs to be emphasized. You can't really do a diagnosis without first having the training and then sitting down with the person that's suspected of having it. And like I said, they rarely seek help. They don't think they need it, folks. They're better than you and me. They feel superior. And they very much act different but between when they're in the public on or on camera and in private. And if they lack success, in other words, don't win in a primary, they will blame their failures on others. So we have to watch out for candidates that have this disorder. But more importantly is the people that are supporting them. You need to be aware of this. I think most people, even the people that go to his rallies, I'm not saying all, but most of them would say, yeah, he's a narcissist or egocentric or megalomaniac. So some are highly functional, highly productive, but they have issues. They very much want to control the situation. They do lack sympathy for others, especially those that they're exploiting. That's why avoidance is probably the best strategy. Once you realize what you're dealing with, get out of the relationship if you're in one or if you're working there, work someplace else. Easier said than done many times. And I'm not real, how should I say this? I don't have much. Well, I do have sympathy for the people that are, so the technical term is codependents, the people that are supplying the narcissist with what he needs. And you'll always find them. And there are many, many in the White House today. So I'm making you aware of the problem. It's up to you to decide whether or not you want a candidate that has this problem. It is a serious problem. Seldom, if ever, talked about in mainstream media. It's talked about online. There are articles on it. And I think there's also a double standard. And I need to point this out. When Barack Obama was running, I never heard or read one article even alluding to the fact that Barack Obama had this problem, with the exception of Sam Vaknin. It takes one to spot one, and he spotted it right away. And the problem is when they are elected to a position of power in the United States presidency, where you're commander-in-chief of the armed forces, that's where it can become dangerous in a situation where that person is frustrated. Remember, they don't like criticism. They want to hear what they want to hear. Praise. You're the smartest one in the room. You're a genius. And there's always going to be people surrounding you that will do that. They provide the narcissist with the supply, and they appoint. And this is something that I almost forgot, but it's rather critical, and it's also obvious. One of the characteristics is they are habitual liars. That's certainly the case with Barack Obama. That is certainly the case with Hillary Clinton, and I'm beginning to see this with Donald Trump, with his flip-flops. You see, it's hard for these people to be confronted with the reality, especially a video where your lies are on display, and that's one of the things that have changed. YouTube. Remember what Barack Obama said. You can keep your plan if you like your plan. You can keep your doctor if you like your doctor. Your premiums will probably go down if you're a family of four by $2,500. It was a lie, repeated and repeated and repeated. And they knew it was a lie. And that's what I want to emphasize. One of the characteristics is this lying. In your face lying. Looking you in the eye and lying to you. And they'll accuse others of lying about them. They like to project, and that's what they do. So you need to be careful who you vote for. And to be fair to everybody, we all have a little bit of narcissism in us. That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking someone that's conceited. This is on the other end of the scale. This is a serious problem. Some, most are never cured. Many go to prison. They're caught stealing because they don't think the laws apply to them, or cheating on their wives. And they usually go from relationship to relationship. They need admiration. They need the applause. They need the love. That's why they surround themselves with people that will provide that. Fundamentally, they're insecure. They know deep down that they're not superior. Far from it. They're showing a false mask or a false face, if you will, trying to hide from you that they are not what they're trying to make you believe they are. So what I encourage you to do, if you have the time, is to listen to several of these videos. I have a number of images that summarize some of the, one of it's called a checklist. You can go down. And keep in mind, just because someone has one or two or three, that's not the point. When you get up to about a dozen, 10, 12, 13, you can literally go down, check, 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 check. You know that that person, high probability, has narcissistic personality disorder. Now, do you want to be the one clapping for this person? I don't, because they will promise you anything, folks, and they don't deliver. That's the problem. They want to get their way. They will lie to you. They will promise you anything to get what they want, but it's not fulfilling your promises. Far from it. They have an agenda, their own agenda, and you're just one way to get there. And if you're a politician, the only time they focus on you is when they need your vote. Don't vote for them. Don't vote for them. Vote for some other candidate. So that means you're going to have few choices, or at least fewer choices. I would never vote for Hillary Clinton, period. Habitual liar, treats the hired help poorly, thinks she's above the law, thinks she's entitled. I would never vote for her. But what about Donald Trump? You can't deny his success in the business world. But he has a reputation of suing people or threatening to sue people. I think you've already this week have heard that. It's to intimidate you. It's very easy for someone that's a multi-billionaire that has a legal staff to threaten this. I'm going to sue you. Anyone can sue anyone they want. But if they don't have a good case, the judge is going to throw it out. The problem is most people don't have a legal staff and are not and don't have the money, frankly, to hire a lawyer for any prolonged period of time. And what I'm leading up to is, if you get in the unfortunate situation of working for them or in any way crossing, they can be dangerous. They will do damage to you, your career, and in the worst cases, physically. And in some cases, where they're world leaders, kill their opposition, because many of them are paranoid. Besides having this problem, they are very controlling, and they have big problems admitting that they've made mistakes. Mistakes are made by other people. They don't make mistakes. They're superior to you and me. So I'm pointing this out because it's going to be very interesting, especially if Ted Cruz wins this Saturday, to see the reaction of Donald Trump. Donald Trump most likely will win in South Carolina and Nevada. But come Super Tuesday, where 12 states, that's a total of 14, I believe, not 12, and over 600 delegates are up, what happens if
one or maybe even two of the other candidates surprise everybody and get more votes than Donald Trump. I don't think he's going to take it very well. And he'll blame everyone but himself. And we might get some lessons. And then again, we may not. Because the people that support him, you can tell them this and they will totally discount. They don't want to see the truth. They definitely don't want to hear the truth. And that's a problem. They are dependent on the candidate. They're putting their hopes and their future, they're projecting onto the candidate what they want the candidate to do for them. When the candidate has no interest, no empathy, will never do it. And when that happens, you get a Barack Obama being elected president, and you might very well get either a Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Now, don't think they're universally liked. They're not. Many people see through this. The smarter ones avoid working for him and definitely don't vote for him. So what I suggest you do is take a little time and learn what a narcissist is, how you can spot a narcissist, and whether or not they have this personality disorder. And keep in mind, there are different types of narcissists. It's hard to generalize. You see, the narcissist also depends on the people that are supplying this admiration. He needs the crowds. He needs the applause. He needs the articles, the television shows, the radio shows that praise him. What he can't stand are those that criticize them. That's why he would like to shut them up if he could. It's hard to do in the United States. It's not hard to do in a tyranny, and that's what usually happens. There is no dissent. There is no discussion at all of the shortcomings of the dictator or tyrant or king. And it can lead to people being imprisoned, unjustly tortured, and even killed. So don't support someone with this disorder. You have to make up your mind. You really do. And it's not easy. You see, I need to be careful how I say this. I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I'm looking for a new party that would support my political philosophy. And it's not going to happen for at least 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 years, if ever. We have two parties that are for big government. I'm looking for a party that wants limited government. More and more people are leaving both parties. And one of the reasons is the career politicians that run the parties, the leadership, what I call the political elitist establishment, a high percentage of them are narcissists. They are grandiose. They think they're better than you. They don't think the rules apply to them. That's why they ignore you. And you see it in the career politician. So until we have a party that really wants to recruit candidates that have integrity, have character, and yes, candidates that don't have these types of personality disorders, and that could take decades. Because the people that are narcissists are attracted to occupations where they can make a lot of money and or have a lot of power. And in those occupations, they get the admiration they want and can control the people that work under them. And they don't suffer criticisms well. Some would say not at all. I'm looking at the time. I need to close it up. Close out the show. I hope I've given you some food for thought. I really have scratched the surface. There's so much here that you can get into and take the program in different directions. This is more a warning, or be on the lookout for. And it's not just Donald Trump. It also is Hillary Clinton, and there's probably at least several other candidates to varying degrees have this issue, if you will. And don't you be the person applauding this person when they're never going to deliver on what they're promising you. That's the lesson that's hard to learn. And only with time and honesty on your part do you say, I made a big mistake? It's human nature. They don't want to admit mistakes. You see, the narcissist, oh yes, he lies. But guess who the big lie, the first lie is? It's to himself. They're liars. We all lie to varying degrees. But the narcissist lies to himself. He's afraid of being exposed for his shortcomings. And many times, this condition, this disorder, is a result of abuse, abandonment, criticism, severe criticism, when the person was a child. With that, I have to close the show, and we'll close the show on a more positive note, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.